And joining me right now here on a Tuesday to go over the latest on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they lost on Sunday night against Kansas City to drop the record to 2-2 on the early season. He's my good friend Anthony Knockreiner, who was at the game, by the way. Anthony, how you doing today?
I'm a little disappointed. We're 2-2, Mark. I wasn't exactly happy with the way we started the game. But I'm all right, man. I'm not panicking. We're 2-2. I mean, you look at that four-game schedule, you could have seen 1-3, possibly. You could have seen 3-1. But, you know, the fact that we're 2-2, I'm fine with it. We had some guys get back healthy. That was the important part. The offense came alive, but our defense fell apart. I think you just got to credit Kansas City. Again, they're a team that's really good right now. And you know what? They had an answer for everything Todd Bowles and company wanted to bring to the table. So, you know, just give Kansas City credit.
Let's talk about the real story. Anthony gave me a call Sunday, and he's like, hey, do you want to go to the game? And I was like, what time's the game? And he's like, it's Sunday night football. I'm so sorry I couldn't go, buddy. I'm so sorry. I feel awful.
Listen.
I feel awful.
And don't worry about it, man. Like I said, the biggest thing is that, like, I'm not, honestly, I thought primetime games would be a lot of fun, but they really aren't. I mean, especially considering the fact that you and I live on this side of the state. So it's much harder to really be excited because you're like, yeah, I mean, I give credit to my girlfriend because we breeze right through I-4 and we breeze right home because we left Raymond James at about 11:30. We got home at about 1:20. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So, because, I mean, we went to the home opener last year against Dallas. We didn't get home until 3 a.m. So, yeah, no, I'm kind of with you, man. Like I said, I like primetime games on TV, but at, you know, going to the games, they are tough unless you get a hotel that night. And, you know, it is what it is. But like I said, I did enjoy the game. It was a lot of fun. I mean, how many times do you get to say you watch Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady duel it out? I didn't get that opportunity in 2020. And, you know, even though the Bucs lost, it was still fun to watch, you know, a player like Patrick Mahomes play as well as he did. And, you know, at the same time, too, Tom played well. Can't complain about that. But like I said, it was just those late games, man. You really got to be somebody that's close to home. It's like only 30 minutes away, and it's not that big a deal.
All right, wait a minute. So how many times have you now seen Tom Brady play for the Buccaneers?
4 times. Because we saw him against Dallas last year in the home opener, saw him in the wild card game against Philly, and then the 2 games so far this year against Green Bay and against Kansas City.
Man, you are going every weekend. Can your body handle this, constantly driving like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the deal. Like, so the next time I'm going to go to a home game will be November 6th when they play the Rams. That'll be the next home game I go to. So, you know, we wanted to get these two. I mean, I wanted to see him play Rodgers. I wanted to see him play Patrick Mahomes. You know, and here's the other thing, too. I'm pretty sure, Mark, this is his last year. You kind of can get that vibe from him. We all know what's going on in his private life. This is pretty much Tom Brady's last year in the NFL. And considering, you know, my family's got season tickets, I missed last year's games. I wanted to go to that Bills game, didn't get to go. There were a couple other ones I wanted to go to that we just couldn't make work. So, you know what I said this year? I told my dad, I said, we're not missing home games. We can miss 2, which is fine, but we're not missing home games this year. And I'm going to the Rams game. We're figuring out who's going to go to the Saints Monday night game because, again, they're running into that primetime problem. But other than that, man, yeah, I'm taking advantage of it. And listen, the way the division looks right now, the Saints are looking even worse. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they played better with or without Jameis Winston on Sunday. But, I mean, there's probably going to be a home playoff game for it in it again. So, yeah, I'm just taking full advantage of the fact that Tom Brady's here. It's probably his last year. And then, you know, next year, who knows where the Bucs are going to be.
All right, I have questions. I kind of want to see you at the Rams game because I know you hate them with all your heart. I might need to have to stand by you during this game. Is this possible?
We'll have to see, man. We'll have to see. I think, there's going to be a lot of I don't want to say hate, but just a lot of rooting against the Rams for sure. And you know what? It's honestly, the way the Rams are looking right now, it could be a blowout. I mean, who had San Francisco putting up 24 points against that supposed vaulted Rams defense? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo putting up 24 points against them. The Rams, they're still hung over from the Super Bowl. They're not playing well. So they're a team that I'm kind of looking more and more like every single week. Yeah, the Rams don't look nearly as dangerous as they did last year.
I'm looking at this schedule. So the Saints one is open for business on a Monday night. The problem with that is if I go to this game, the Bucs usually don't show up at home against the Saints. Is this correct?
Yeah. The last couple of years has not been good for Tampa at home against the Saints. That has not been good.
I kind of want to see you with the Rams. I kind of want to see that. I'm sorry to tell you this. Yeah, because you've been talking for 9 straight months how much you hate the Rams over and over again. I can only imagine. Did you have fun at the game, even though the Bucs lost on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's always a fun atmosphere. You know, the people that were tailgating next to us, they had a great setup. You know, they invited us over, and we kind of chit-chatted with them and got to meet some new people. That was great. You know, my girlfriend, she got to go to her first NFL game. She's a big hockey fan, so this was great to take her, and it was a lot of fun. She had a ball, and it was fun to bring her, and we got some great pictures out of it. And you know, went to the team store. I picked up a couple new shirts. I got that Florida Strong shirt and Fire the Cannon shirt as well. So you know, like I said, it's always fun. It's like I'm going to my favorite theme park, and the inner kid in me always comes out every time I go to Raymond James Stadium. And my girlfriend saw that firsthand as well. So it's just always fun. I don't really care. It's always fun. I was mad for about 15, 20 minutes after the game because, like, it was just, I mean, Mark, opening kickoff, we fumble. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Because all of a sudden I'm seeing Chiefs player pointing. I see the ref then pointing the other way for a first down, and I'm just like, wait a minute, we're starting the game off and we're giving Kansas City the ball at our own 26 or 24-yard line? We're starting this way, really? And we did, and we gave up a touchdown. And listen, Patrick Mahomes was incredible, but the offense did some nice things, but again, another slow first half start. We didn't do anything until the second half. So, I mean, I was a little bit mad, but other than that, man, it's always a good time. It's always fun. You know, the beers are expensive, but that's just usually the case, but it was always fun.
What's it like seeing Patrick Mahomes in person?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, you know, you're paying for ticket admission, and it's absolutely worth it because he's just an incredible football player. Like watching him numerous times, almost be sacked, and then still find a way to throw the ball. Like I thought, oh, finally we're going to bring him down, and then he tosses away to Mecole Hardman for a first. Or, no, that was Juju. He tosses it to Juju Smith-Schuster for the first down. And it's like, oh man. We almost were about to force them to punt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're either going to score their second touchdown or the third, but it was just frustrating because we knew we've talked about this before. We know how good that defense is, and we felt like finally that defense is going to get that stop. And then Patrick Mahomes just does something and pulls a rabbit out of the hat, and all of a sudden it's another first down. That was the most probably aggravating thing is that there were some third and longs at Tampa forced, but Patrick Mahomes was still able to get them. And you give it respect, but as a fan in the stadium, you're just mad. You're not happy about this. It's just like, why can't we get this guy down? Stop it.
You've been going to games your whole life, Anthony Nockreiner. I'm just starting to think, all right, best quarterbacks you've seen play live. So you saw Brady. You've seen Brady's probably. See, the thing with Brady is, like, it's not like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know, but he's just surgical, just getting the ball down the field. Is Mahomes the best quarterback where it's just like an athlete running around that you've ever seen in person play?
I think so. I think Mahomes is definitely going to be the best quarterback I've ever seen play outside of watching Tom. But yeah, definitely Mahomes. He's definitely up there. I mean, listen, when this game was scheduled in 2020, this was scheduled for Thanksgiving weekend, and I knew I was going to be home for Thanksgiving, but obviously with COVID, you know, limited capacity and all that stuff. So that kind of stunk because I was looking forward to going to that game and watching that game the first time. So to be able to get this opportunity again to watch Mahomes and Brady play and just to see Mahomes play live in person. Like, you see what he does on TV, but just to see him in person, see what he does, see how he moves, it is just a total blast. I know Kansas City Chiefs fans, whoever's got season tickets there at home at Arrowhead, they probably really enjoy it every time. But, yeah, just to see him in person, it's just really cool. It's just something that you kind of mark down. It's just like, okay, I got to see Patrick Mahomes play in his prime.
Oh, by the way, my team didn't draft him when we could have. It's the worst. The worst, buddy.
Well, I was thinking about this. You asked me last week, do I take the over and the under of Justin Fields over 150 yards passing? Apparently, I should have taken the over. I took the under.
Well, I showed you, even though it was the worst game ever played in the history of man. You saw two Hall of Fame quarterbacks go at it, and the final score was 41-31, and my score was the exact opposite. And I made this joke yesterday, Anthony. When they have the sports bar in hell, and I mean as you're stuck and you're watching the worst game ever, they'll show the second half of that Bears-Giants game. I hope you know that. It'll be awful.
Easy there, Mark, because it wasn't that long ago that I remember watching, you know, the 30 for 30, the 2019 Buccaneers. And, I mean, yeah, at least we scored points, but we weren't sure if it was for our team or the other team. You know what I mean? We had a dual-threat offense. Our offense could throw you points as well as get points for us.
Yeah, I think Jameis Winston, I think the stat is, all right, his first ever throw for the Buccaneers was a pick six, and wasn't his final throw a pick six. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Who?
Yeah, bookend pick sixes. That's why it honestly just absolutely, I couldn't understand it, Mark, where everybody thinks that Sean Payton solved Jameis Winston's interception problems. He didn't. And when the Saints do need to throw the football to try and get back in the game, he'll literally throw you out of it. And that's what they did back in week two. So, like, this whole deal that Bruce Arians was the one that forced Jameis Winston's mistakes to become more even apparent. Like, no. I mean, even before Bruce, Jameis was still throwing 17 interceptions. Mm. I mean, the guy would have four pick games, and there'd be games where we're in it in the fourth quarter. But all of a sudden, because of two interceptions, we're now down by 10 or 14, we're out of it. So, yeah, I mean, here's the deal, and this is the other thing, too. I know, you know, I listened to you talk to Luke yesterday and, you know, pressing the panic button. I'm not pressing the panic button yet. I will press the panic button if we lose the Falcons this weekend. Because here's the deal, too. You got to remember, and I think a lot of Bucs fans forget this. We played three of the top offenses in the NFL last year in a consecutive row. All right? You know, we played Dallas in week one. The Saints offense the Saints offense, but between Dallas, Green Bay, and Kansas City, three out of the first 4 weeks, it's impressive what our defense did do, even though it did have a bad game Sunday night. So I'm not going to press the panic button, but I will press the panic button if we lose, you know, if we lose more than one game in this next three-game stretch, because between Carolina, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh, those are three games we need to win before we get into that tough stretch against Baltimore, Los Angeles, and then you look at Arizona, Cincinnati down the line.
All right, I'm looking at the schedule. All right, and by the way, I'm going to ask you that question every week. Are you hitting the panic button? All right, every week I'm going to do that question. So the answer is right now no, but we will find out. I'm looking at your schedule. You guys also have Thursday night football against the Ravens. Are you going to that game?
No, probably not. Definitely probably not going to go to that game just because of the restaurant.
Don't you miss 1 o'clock on Sunday? I know you do, Anthony. You miss it so much.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not sure I miss 1 o'clock on Sunday because I went to that Packers game. That first half was hot. Like it was, I was sweating and I was still wearing a white jersey and I was sweating profusely and through my shirt and through that jersey and everything else. So I'm not necessarily sure I want a 1 o'clock game, you know, in September and maybe even early October. I'm good with 1 o'clock games at the end. So give me 4 o'clock. So that way that sun can go down a little bit. Because I'll tell you what, where we sit, that sun, if it sits on you, you'll bake.
I'm going to use that. Like what you just said, as we all know, I use this over and over again.
Let's go Tampa Bay. Let's go Tampa Bay. By the way, the rum's good.
I use that all the time. I think what you just said might be added to the board where you'll cook. I might add that, buddy. I hope you know that. It's fantastic. It really was.
I try to give you good one-liners, Mark. They don't come often.
What did you? Okay, wait. I'm going to have to review the tape. What did you just say? Something like, oh, man, if it's 1 o'clock, you're going to bake. Is that what you said? Something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much where we sit, you're going to cook.
Man, wow. That is big time. It's not play like a champion today, but it's pretty good. I like that. I really do. Right now in your eyes, who is the best team in the NFC through 4 weeks of the season?
You got to give it to Philly because they are undefeated and they do seem to find ways to win. I think the fact that Jacksonville did have a lead on them and Jacksonville did make it tough on Philly, I think shows that the NFC is down this year. I don't think the NFC is nearly as talented as the AFC, but I think you can give it a slight edge to the Eagles, but I still think it's wide open. I think, you know, I'll put Philly in there. I don't trust any other team from the NFC East. I'll put the Packers in there because they seem to edge out victories in one form or fashion. Obviously Tampa. I think you got to put San Francisco in there. San Francisco continues to play well. So, I mean, those would be my four teams right now. But like I said, it's Philly by a hair and then everybody else because nobody's really separated themselves here. Because, I mean, Green Bay wasn't that impressive in their win over us. You know, we beat Dallas. Dallas is going to have a stingy defense. So there's just no one that's just a clear cut here through the first quarter of the season. We'll see what the next 4 weeks do as we get to the midway point. But for right now, there's just no clear-cut favorite. I give it a slight edge. But, again, I think they are very beatable. Because, again, what defenses has Philly played so far? That's kind of my question.
If you are Dallas, Anthony Nockreiner, would you stick with Cooper Rush?
Yeah, stick with who's winning your ball games. I mean, Dak's still not going to be back yet. I would stick with Cooper until Dak gets back. I mean, see where the schedule's at because, again, you know, Dallas, I'm trying to think of who they've really played. What, they beat the Washington Commanders. Okay, that's not that impressive. Like I said, I think this is about I think you got to go back to Dak here at some point. And so, listen, I like Cooper Rush. I like what he's been able to do. He's a great story. But what happens when they do lose a game? Because I think Dallas is going to lose a game before Dak comes back. So, for right now, Jerry Jones is getting what he wants, but this isn't Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe.
They're going to play Philadelphia, I think, in 2 weeks. I think you and me should do the Manning cast because of how much you hate the NFC East. I would love to be broadcasting the game with you where we're just streaming it and just you making fun of both teams. Can we make this happen, please?
I think we can. I think we should. That would be hilarious. Every Eagles and Dallas Cowboys fan probably would tune in and just write all nasty comments because I would absolutely be hating on both their teams.
So great. It's so great, dude. I love it so much. Tell us about your podcast you're doing for college football this year.
Thanks, Mark. It is BMAC and the Knox FCS show on the Gridiron Heroics Network. We just got picked up by them, which is great. Are we talking FCS football? Florida Gators got a big win this past weekend against one of the better teams in the FCS against Eastern Washington. So you guys can check out our podcast on Apple, all iTunes, every place that you guys get podcasts. And like I said, it's just talking about FCS, which is formerly Division I AA football. A lot of great teams, a lot of blue bloods. You can talk about the Montana schools. You look at Delaware as well. They're good right now. And the North Dakota State Bison, who are just a dynasty upon themselves. And, you know, they're a team that could be coming up to the FBS here pretty soon.
They
it
should.
Just depends on the region, but it's great stuff, man. It's, like I said, it's a lot of fun to cover this level, and it's really fun.
Okay, so the teams that are usually good is North Dakota State. Isn't James Madison? They won the title a couple years ago. They're usually good.
Yeah, James Madison. They were, but see, they've already transitioned up to the Sun Belt because they just beat Appalachian State a couple of weeks ago. So James Madison used to be in there, but now they're part of the Sun Belt Conference. Because they were in the Colonial Athletic Association, which is the CAA, one of the big three conferences in the FCS. So, yeah, James Madison used to be there. I mean, and you look at App State in the mid-2000s won three straight FCS national championships, and now look what they're doing up at the FBS level as well. So, yeah, no, it's a great league. It is interesting, Mark, and it's something that we talk about all the time. It's just interesting. What's the landscape of college football going to look like? Because everybody's trying to move up. But how big are these conferences really going to be allowed to get to where they aren't forced to kick other teams out of that conference? Because there are some teams like you're just like, okay, they've been there for so long that they never win. Now, granted, it's not just football. The other schools maybe make up in basketball or some of the other sports. But it is going to be interesting over the course of the next 10 years as these conferences continue to get bigger. Do they force some of the other teams out of those conferences? When I think of the Big Ten, do you force like Rutgers? Do you force Northwestern and teams like that out of that conference when you're adding USC and UCLA?
You make it like it's soccer where you regulate them. You just get, and then you put new teams in. Hey, wait, did you like where Illinois with Brett Bielema hammered Wisconsin so, like, just destroyed them in Madison that Wisconsin had to fire their coach? Did you see this?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe it because, like, I mean, I know Wisconsin, I mean, sometimes they'll have years where they've got a really good football team. Maybe they're a team that can, you know, beat Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, but I didn't expect them to be this bad this year. Like, I know quarterback play has never been a strong suit at Wisconsin, but, man, usually you can count on the run game. Usually you can count on the defense, but that team is just getting pounded right now. And this is a weird year when Wisconsin's down in the Big Ten because Wisconsin's another brand that you see that when they're good, they only help elevate the Big Ten. But right now, this football team, I mean, Paul Chryst did a heck of a job for Wisconsin, so I don't know what happened in terms of the recruiting because that's got to be it. They just don't seem to have the talent, but –
dude,
man, I'll tell you what, that was surprising. I mean, and you got to give credit to Brett Bielema. Again, we see teams go down and come up all the time.
Dude, Wisconsin on their home field against Illinois and their former coach and Brett Bielema, they ran for 2 rushing yards in that football game. 2. What? So then so the buyout, it was something I saw where I think he gets like $15 million or so up front. They could have given him more, but then it would be in installments. But I think he wants to coach again for another team, and he'll get another job. That is shocking. I mean, the money being thrown around for firing coaches is insane, and especially in the Big Ten. This guy's name is Anthony Nockreiner. He likes to fire those cannons. My man, thanks for your help, and have a great week, all right?
Thanks, Mark.